Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K. is on the radio today, and he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking. Is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
This is Robin Roberts, and the Michael K. Show starts right now. Take it away, Michael, Don, and Peter.
Do it.
Thank you, Robin, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on Tuesday, November 22nd, 2022. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg with you. Hope you're all doing well, getting ready for the Thanksgiving holiday. We are here and locked in and better than ever, stealing from Greeny. I'm going to start off with the Jet quarterback situation, although there's a lot to talk about. Knicks had a good road trip. Aaron Judge is in San Francisco to meet today with the Giants, which shouldn't be a shock, and we'll get into all of that. But I've given a lot of thought to the Zach Wilson situation. And I've come up with this, and I think a lot of Jet fans will disagree with me. Maybe Don and Peter will as well. I think Zach Wilson is the guy who has to start. Now, you can say, well, then there are no ramifications for him playing that poorly. But here's the caveat I would throw at him. I'd call him into the office and say, you're starting against the Bears, and if you're awful, we're pulling you. There will be either Mike White or Joe Flacco. They're coming in. So you cannot continue to play this way. Now, if I'm Zach Wilson, I come right back with, you want me to play better, then you have to let me open it up. Let my freak fly. Let me throw off-schedule throws. Let me take chances. Wouldn't you rather Zach Wilson throw three interceptions and get 400 yards in the air right than what they're doing now? They've neutered the guy.
Yeah, you got to find out what you have. Now, there are people out there, like John Winthrop, one of our pinhead suits, who thinks that Zach Wilson is done. He's not good. They should have never drafted him. If that's your opinion, then it really doesn't – your opinion then doesn't matter because you're already done with the guy. But if the Jets feel like there's something still there, then you got to find out if he got it or not. You know, Rex brought up managing with Sanchez in 09 and 2010, and that worked to get to a championship game. Don't mess it up for us, kid. Don't make a mistake. Then eventually, after they got over that, they eventually had to open it up and found out they didn't have a quarterback. What good is all of this if you don't have a quarterback, Michael?
Nothing.
Now there are fans out there that want to make the playoffs. They want to beat the Bears. What gives us the best chance to beat the Bears? Bring in Mike White. Mike White's going to save our season. I know I'm not a Jet fan, Michael, but why are we so caught up in making the playoffs? Isn't the most important thing finding out if you got a quarterback or not?
See, that's where we split on this, because I believe that it is important to make the playoffs. You've got to give your fan base something, and also it helps the other players to be rewarded for the fact that the defense right has been so stout. But you can make the playoffs if you continue to start Zach Wilson, because the only time he's been terrible is in the games against the Patriots. So I don't think it's any scheme that Bill Belichick came up with. I just think he's in the kid's head. But the other games, he's been serviceable. But here's my problem. Even in those other games, so he's 5-2 as a starter. They haven't found out anything about him. You don't know if he's your quarterback of the future. They've got training wheels on the guy. Let right him throw the ball.
Well, we're essentially saying the same thing, but what I'm saying is, Michael, as you let his freak fly, as you say, it might cost you games. As he starts to get better and you learn, like maybe the game against the Bears is a winnable game. I think it is. Doesn't look like Fields is going to play. That's a winnable game against the Bears. You're home. You're going to have a full house. It's Darrell Revis Day. They're, you know, putting his number 24 in the Ring of Honor. But if you have him go out there and throw 40 times, Michael, and he throws two pick sixes and you lose the game, he cost you the game. Trying to find out what you have cost you a game. What I'm saying is, Michael, okay, Then, as long as you find out what you have, I want to make the playoffs too, but not at the expense of not finding out if we have a quarterback. Because the better way to do, let's just manage it, game manage it, let's piece it together, let's play Mike White, let's play Joe Flacco, let's try to get into the playoffs. And going to the playoffs would be fun. It would snap the streak. But if you, at the end of the day, don't know if you have a quarterback, is it worth it?
Well, here's my deal. I say let the freak flag fly, which is not easy to say.
And I've never heard that about quarterbacks.
But if you, in fact, have him, if he's terrible in the first half, then you yank him. But you don't, you're not finding anything out about him having 3 yard outs. I mean, his average distance of throw is 3 yards. The best quarterbacks in the league, it's 9. Triple the distance. What are they doing with the guy? They're not finding anything out. So somebody, I said that to somebody today, and they said, oh, he's still overthrowing guys. He is in his own head. He's in his own head. He's not trying to make mistakes, so he's not playing with his talent. He's not playing with instinct. He's overthinking everything. They've got to let this kid use his talent.
Is it possible the reason he's averaging 3 yards a pass? Is it possible it's not because they're not calling any plays for him to throw down the field, but that he's not executing on any of those plays? That's when he's getting flushed from the pocket. That's when he's throwing it away. That's when he's not finding anyone. So the average is low because he's just incapable of going through his reads.
But you watch the games, Peter. He's not really taking many chances downfield. He's just not. They don't give him those plays. Now, maybe, I mean, we don't know what goes on in the meetings. We don't know. Maybe those plays are called, and as you're saying, he's not seeing it. But here's another part that nobody's, like, talking about. Mike White? Really? He's going to take you to the promised land? Everybody wants to remember that great game that he had against the Bengals. And you don't forget a game like that. But take a look at the games after that. It was terrible. He's terrible. And Joe Flacco is done. Joe Flacco, the first 3 games he played, he didn't play well. Now you can say, oh, he still had more touchdowns than Zach Wilson, 5-4. Yeah, that's true. But they allowed him to take shots downfield.
Right. But Michael, there's another element here, and that's what Dan Orlovsky said. Looking at the all-22s, it felt like there were times he didn't even know what the play was.
I think he's in his own head.
Now, the one play where he threw what should have been a pick and it was dropped, that was a play downfield. And it didn't look like he knew where any of his wide receivers were. It almost feels like he can't see. Is it something like that? I know they list him at 6'2", but I think a lot of people think he's closer to 6', 6'1". Is he not able to see over the line of scrimmage? Is he missing guys because he can't see? Is it like Wild Thing from Major League? That the reason he was wild is because he needed glasses? Like, everything's on the table. You make it seem like, Michael, that they're not, that it's all been conservative, but there have been times where he's just not making the plays. And are they conservative because they don't want him to screw up, or are they conservative because they don't think he can do it?
Well, then, like, but then it's an easy decision.
Right, but
if you don't think he can do it, then bench him.
But that's why I'm willing to split the difference and say, listen, if he doesn't look like he knows the plays, if he's allowing coaches to get in his head, like Sam Darnold, I'm seeing ghosts out there. I'd rather have him sit down, not because somebody else gives them a better chance to beat the Bears. Let the kid watch somebody else do it.
But who's he watching? Mike White?
Well, that's why I think it should be Joe Flacco instead of Mike White.
But sometimes it's watching anyone else helps.
They say it in hockey all the time, too. Let's make him a scratch, put him in the press box, let him watch. Let him watch the game from afar. Maybe he'll see things differently than being on the bench or playing. It could be the same thing.
Well, didn't he do that in the first 3 games?
In theory, he watched
Flacco for 3 games. What did he learn?
The best argument,
because he knew he was getting his job back immediately.
Right.
He wasn't humbled. It was an injury.
So the best argument that you've made, Michael, is that it's Mike White. So what are we really talking about? If you had even if it was Colt McCoy even back there,
or Heineke.
Or Taylor Heineke. Then you go, okay, go put this guy in. But for Mike White, I hear what you're saying. But I'm also with Don. I think the move is, if I'm Coach Sala, unless you think Mike White's legitimately better than him, like you actually don't think, maybe you've already made up your mind on Zach, in which case move on however you feel you need to.
Exactly.
If you have it, though, and you're feeling the pressure, then to me the move is, the second he had that bad presser,
out.
You say, we're sitting him down.
Yeah.
He's not starting next week.
Or,
and that lesson is delivered, and the following week he comes back humbled. That's what you try to
do. But you humble him this week. If he plays against the Bears, right, and he has a terrible first half, and the Bears don't blow you out, okay? He's out. There's your ramification. he's out. Then he'll know, hey, listen, we're going to keep starting you. And until you start to produce, we're going to take you out every single time. Because the training wheels are coming off, kid. This is ridiculous. You should be better at this point than you are right now. You're the second pick in the draft. Now, there's also an issue going on that worries me tremendously. If Woody Johnson has anything to do with deciding who the quarterback is going to be, that's a big deal. Now, Don and I joke about Dallas, right, with Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones played football at a high level at Arkansas. Played football. Woody Johnson is a guy who inherited a lot of money and runs a big company. He should not be involving himself in any football decisions. His job is to provide them the facilities and pay the players the money. But if you have a guy who has nothing to do with football, nothing other than owning a team, then the Jets are in dire straits. Again, I don't know if it's true or not, but if Woody Johnson has anything to do with this quarterback change, the Jets are in a lot of trouble forever, forever. Jerry Jones played the game. Well, Woody did not.
Well, because then you're not making a football decision. You're making a business decision.
Right.
Woody Johnson, and this is not an insult to him, because he's not a football guy. He's a businessman who owns a football team. Whether you like Jerry Jones or not, he's a football guy. Woody Johnson, if he has a say in who the quarterback is, he's coming from a business perspective. Hey, it's a home game. It's Darrell Revis Day. I don't want to have, you know, Zach Wilson throwing a bunch of picks on that game. I want the kid to start. I want Mike White to start, or I want Zach Wilson to start because he's my second overall pick. Then you're just making a business decision. You can't make a business decision. It has to be a football decision.
Yeah, but a business decision that's tinged with the fact that he thinks he knows football. Just because you own a team doesn't mean you know football.
I think they all believe that deep down inside.
Well, John
that they
Mara,
know football.
I mean, from his crib,
right,
has been around football. I think just through osmosis he would know it. Woody Johnson owns a team 20 years. That doesn't mean he knows if a quarterback's good or bad.
No, an owner should be like, guys, who do you think should be our starting quarterback? And then go with your coaches, the people that you hire. Now, Joe Douglas, I think, should have a say. He's the general manager
of
the team.
Yes, I agree.
But I don't think Woody does. But why do I have a feeling Woody does have a say? And maybe he's going by his gut. And maybe his say, Michael, sounds to me, reading the tea leaves, he wants Zach out. So what do you do?
Then if you're Robert Saleh, you have two things that you could do. You say, listen, if you're going to make this decision, then you got to get rid of me. I'm the football coach here. Or just follow him. And then it would take a real pair of cubes to fire the guy if it doesn't work out.
Because, again, we're left to our own devices here. But do you realize how rare yesterday was that you're supposed to meet with the media at 3:15 and you don't until 5 o'clock?
Yeah, because
that's
in football, everything is regimented like the military.
That's a big, big deal. Now, I did find out later that Monday is Zoom, so those guys weren't all sitting there waiting. They were on their computers waiting. But still, guys have deadlines. They've got work to do. 3:15 is the press conference. You give a little leeway, but almost 2 hours? So it sounded to me like they were butting heads. What am I supposed to think, Michael? If you're thinking about benching your quarterback, then you're going to come to a meeting of the minds way before you have to meet the media at 3:15. Sound like something came down and there was a lot of headbutting and they couldn't figure out how to answer it, because when they did speak to the media at 5 o'clock, they didn't have an answer.
Well, I think they had the answer. I think they know exactly what they're doing. They're playing games with the Bears. So if it's Wilson or it's White, they know who's going to start. Nothing is happening that he's looking at film right now that he's going to change his mind. They know.
But they're probably going to announce the starting quarterback tomorrow.
Right.
So what are you playing with the Bears for? But they're not practicing today. They're not going to do anything until Wednesday. I mean, really, is it that much gamesmanship? Is it going to be Zach Wilson or is it going to be, you know, Joe Flacco,
but
whatever?
You know how football coaches are.
All right, fine. But if you're going to tell me you're going to announce it the day of the game, well, then I can see it's gamesmanship. Again, you know, the Bears watched film yesterday. They've got today off. They're going to go hit practice on Wednesday, probably knowing who the quarterback's going to be.
Wait a minute. The players watch film. The coaches are game planning for this Sunday. So if you could hold out until Wednesday afternoon, you've had them split their time planning for White and for Wilson. If you announce right now it's Wilson or White, then they could plan better. If you take, again, football coaches are out of their mind.
Okay.
If you can make them think they're wasting a little time planning for a guy who's not going to play, that's it. Now, I have another question about this. If Zach Wilson handled the media better after the game, is this even being discussed?
I don't think so.
So you think if he said, listen, it's on me, he's starting on Sunday for sure.
My honest gut opinion, yes. If he gets up there and says, that's 100% on me, I was not ready, I need to be ready, I will improve, I think he's starting.
Well, listen, I don't know what their thinking is, but my thinking is the reason I want him to sit, the reason I want him to get humbled, a lot has to do with how he treated that that discussion with the media after the game. Because it sounds to me like he's just, I think he's a spoiled brat. He needs to be humbled. He has not been tested. He's never been in jeopardy of losing his job. There was no veteran here when he was drafted. He was going to be the starting quarterback from the get-go. The only time he hasn't played was because of injury. The second he came back from his injury, he played. So he feels like he's the man. And I think a nice humbling, sitting down, watching, especially a winnable game, is going to maybe get his head right. But if you're benching him because you think he stinks, well then, guys, it's over. And now you're back to square one trying to figure out who your quarterback is because it's not on the roster. It's not going to be Mike White. It's not going to be Joe Flacco. So now you're back to square one. How many first-round picks are the Jets going to waste on quarterbacks, guys? I know it's different regimes, but a second-round pick, Wilson, didn't work. Third overall pick for Darnold, didn't work. Fifth overall pick for Sanchez, didn't work. Oh, and let's not forget about Geno Smith, second-round pick, didn't work. When does it work?
And the kid from Penn State? First pick of the second round? What was his name?
Oh, Hackenberg. Hackenberg was a disaster.
First pick of the second round, which essentially is
was a disaster.
First round.
But it's, so when do we start, and I sound like Steve Young, but Steve Young's been saying it for a decade for us. At what point do the Jets start getting blamed? All these quarterbacks can't play?
But what are you doing? You're blaming the Jets as an entity? Because it's different GMs, different coaches, different offensive coordinators.
I don't know.
They've all failed.
But they all, and you could say, well, what quarterback went on to do something after the fact? Well, you know, Geno Smith's starting to do some nice things in Seattle.
But you can ruin
a quarterback. If Sam Darnold ever gets healthy, maybe he'll get his second win. And yes, you're right. I agree with you, Michael. Sometimes you could damage a quarterback to where they never get up from it. But you're telling me they pick the wrong guy every single time? Or do they have to be culpable? And they, it's a lot of they, because it's a lot of different general managers and coaches, of a lack of developing these quarterbacks after they draft.
We're in the middle of the gangrene report on 98.7 ESPN, driven by Ramsey Mazda. It's tough, man. And then to make matters worse of what Wilson said after the game on Sunday, it comes out today, and you're going to see it throughout the NFL now, that Justin Fields, the Bears quarterback, apologized to his defense in the locker room, saying, that was on me. You guys played great, and I didn't get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
So that just makes Wilson look worse. To me, Wilson seems ill-prepared to handle the spotlight. You know, one of our listeners on social media yesterday said, I live in Utah. You can't believe how different it is out here than it is in New York. This kid is not equipped at this point to handle the glare and the pressure and the spotlight. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but nobody questioned him at BYU. No one. And we laughed when they took him a second, and we questioned Joe Douglas about it. Does it worry you? I mean, remember, that was a COVID year. They didn't play anybody. They didn't play anybody. Forget about the conference. They played no one. It was a joke schedule. Now, all of a sudden, you're playing Bill Belichick? It's a big difference. I'm surprised that they didn't take that into account. And it is a black mark against the GM and the coach when they go out on a limb and select a guy with the second pick, and he's a bust. So that has to be taken into consideration, too.
Not
bad they look.
I know. But you've got to find out. Now, I would sit him down, humble him, have him play the next week, and eventually, as Michael said, you open things up a little bit more. Maybe it does come at the expense of making the playoffs, but I got to find out
if
I've got the quarterback.
If you sit him down, right? Let's say Mike White has a Cincinnati Bengal game. When's he playing again? When's he playing again? That's why you start him. If he stinks, you take him out at halftime. That is accountability. You got to perform in that first half, or we're taking you out.
It's still the same risk. I mean, let's say you bench him. It's 14-0 Bears. You bench him, and then White comes out and three unanswered scores. You win the game. Well, then he's got to play the next week.
You tell everybody, Zach Wilson's our starting quarterback, and we will take him off the mound and bring in a relief pitcher if he's not getting people out. That's what you say.
Well, you could say anything. You could also say, I'm going to bench him against the Bears, and he's playing the next week.
Right.
I mean, you could say anything. But that's when Woody gets involved, too, because Woody is going to follow the fan base, right? Because I mean, I'm sure that's going to be a very proud moment for Woody to be able to have a full house on Sunday. Darrell Revis, a person that was drafted on his watch, getting put into the Ring of Honor, and all the fans are doing is booing the Jets and booing Zach Wilson every time he steps onto the field. Is that Woody's motivation? Hey, let's not have this happen. I want my team to be cheered, and if Mike White's the quarterback, we're going to get a standing ovation when we take the field. If Zach Wilson's out there, we're going to have 80,000 people booing the Jets off the field.
Well, then somebody has to tell Woody, keep your fat fingers out of football, because what? They put Mangold in the Ring of Honor, and they lost that game against the Patriots.
Oh, yeah, the Ring of Honor means absolutely nothing.
It's not the Hall of Fame.
No, but Peter, what I'm saying, I'm not saying it should, but you don't think an owner gets motivated by having a full house of 80,000 people eviscerating their starting quarterback?
That is true. No, they are motivated by that. I absolutely agree. They would not want to see that. But this is such a weird... Michael, I literally would have a different feeling about this if they had anyone. This also speaks to, can we be real, how bad a job they've done backing up this kid. I'd feel better if they had Josh Johnson on their roster. I'd feel better about them going to the bench to get someone who's a guaranteed winner. Do you really feel that good about Mike White? That's the part that worries me.
Well, you felt good enough about Mike White to elevate him to the second string.
But is that...
deactivate Flacco.
So is that based on Mike White or the fact that Flacco literally forgot how to play football? Like, do they believe that?
Or was it that I might be more tempted to bench Wilson if Flacco was the backup rather than it be White? And now I'm reversing course and White's going to be my starting quarterback when
and
I didn't
Zach's
even think about benching... a winnable game for Wilson on Sunday. Like he said it didn't cross his mind. And now he's good enough to go start against Chicago when maybe if Mike White plays the second half of that game or the fourth quarter of the game, you might have won on Sunday.
Yeah, a lot of people, and we'll get to your phone calls because this is something that people want to talk about, but really, let's be honest with each other. Do you see greatness in Mike White? I mean, I don't want to downgrade the kid, but really, that's the answer, as Don would scream? That's the answer, Mike White. Again, great against the Bengals. Look at his other games. How great was he? How great was he? So that you're pulling the plug on the second pick in the draft who hasn't played enough games to really evaluate for Mike White. Is that the guy moving forward, or are they going to be looking for a quarterback at the end of the year again? And how many quarterbacks does the GM get to pick? Usually one.
Mike White has started three games in his career. He has played in five. He's completed 66.7% of his passes, not bad, for 953 yards, five touchdowns, eight interceptions. All right? He's had the one game against Cincinnati. He's 27 years old. I believe, drafted in the fifth round by Dallas, so he's bounced around a little bit. And that's and let's take a look at that Cincinnati game that we talk about, which was like a huge surprise, right? Like nobody saw that game coming. In that game against Cincinnati, wow, he threw 45 times. 37 for 45, 405 yards, three touchdowns, two interceptions, a quarterback rating of 107.9. The next week against Indianapolis, he only played sparingly and then got crushed against Buffalo. Yeah, so Peter's right. It's not like you're going to give it to anybody that might have a future here. I know Jet fans think he might have a future because he's only 27, but...
But you know what? Football fans always fall in love.
Oh, they love him.
With the backup quarterback. That's the guy. The backup quarterback. Backup quarterback.
Oh, Michael,
the backup
how many,
quarterback's a backup quarterback for a reason.
Michael, how many preseasons did I go through with the Jets where you'd see a guy like, Matt Sims come in and have a big second half? Like, he should be the starting quarterback.
Right.
Because again, the fans are shell-shocked. They just want to see good quarterback play, and they literally haven't gotten it for four decades on any kind of consistent basis. I feel bad that we continue to have this conversation. Just changing the name of the quarterback.
Well, that's the Gangrene Report, driven by Ramsey Mazda. It's the experience of driving a new Mazda and buying a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. We'll get you phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. Should Wilson start? Should he be benched? Who should start if it's not Wilson? It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Nets at the Sixers at 7:30. So on the Yes Network, you'll see it at 7 with the pregame. 7:30 is a tip-off. And this is a significant game because Ben Simmons, who's been playing better, is going to actually be in uniform and playing in Philadelphia. So that'll be a joyous reception for him.
Did he have, like, what, 19
22.
Points? Yeah, he had a good game the last game.
10:30 tonight.
That's right.
The Rangers and the Kings, so that's a 10 o'clock pregame. Dom will handle that.
That's right.
And 10:30, play-by-play, the puck drops, Rangers and the Kings. There you have it.
Game three of a four-game road trip. I'll have the call of the game in Anaheim tomorrow.
So Kenny is doing this one.
Yes.
And he's in L.A.?
No.
He's not? Okay. Okay. Should I have not asked that?
Probably would have been better if he just moved on. But listen, it's out there. We lift the skirt on this show.
We do. That's Game Time, brought to you by Telemore Dew Irish Whiskey.
I think we switched the curtain.
During the big games this season, enjoy a Telemore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Telly time. Please, please, please enjoy responsibly. Please do that. All right, let's see what you're thinking. We'll start with Danny on Long Island. Danny.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. There's a lot to unpack here, as you guys like to say.
Yes.
You know, the level, you know, in a league full of very questionable people, the level of anger in the media, in both national and local, directed at the kid, is really shocking. I don't believe he's an NFL quarterback. I've seen enough now to know that he's in over his head. But, I mean, punk, rich, spoiled, a lot of things. Like, he's not tough enough. Well, could he be any more spoiled growing up than Eli Manning? Or maybe Mahomes, whose father was a professional ball player?
Or even Steve Young in Greenwich.
But they didn't say those things.
Correct. They were a lot better than this kid. You know, as far as the kid's concerned, obviously he's not good enough. There's no weapons on the team. We heard that for other quarterbacks for years. There's no one to throw the ball to. Their best running back, when they had a functioning offense, he's gone, he's hurt. They're definitely in his head. They don't want him to throw passes, interceptions, but they also don't let him run the ball. That's an important part of his game. I see him come, he rolls out under pressure, and you can see he could easily run for 4 or 5 yards, maybe bust it and go longer, and he throws the ball into the crowd away on purpose. So they definitely got the handcuffs on him, and it's just sad to see because he's not an evil person. He didn't ask to be draft second. The Jets made a terrible mistake.
Well, no, is anyone calling him?
Okay, go ahead, guys.
No, I was the one that called him a punk. All right, now I thought it was a punk move that he said. You know, he didn't feel bad for the exact quote where he's like, "Do you feel responsible for the loss?" No, when you've got, you know, Fields apologizing to his team, Josh Allen back to back weeks apologizing to his team, taking the full brunt of the negativity. Now, it's a punk move. I'm sorry.
It was completely immature, right, and he was in.
But
like
I don't think
said,
anybody's going. Anybody's killed. This is the world, Danny. We live in. He's a quarterback in New York. He's going to get slings and arrows thrown at him, and it's all about how you handle it. And I don't think he handled it well.
He didn't handle it well, and he's going to be gone shortly. But, I mean, and like I said, and it should be based strictly on his performance, which is...
No, that's not true, Danny. You're the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
QB1 has a different... He's not a wide receiver or tight end. Like, it's all part of the resume. Yeah. How do you handle the press conference? No.
And I don't know. I agree that it's you'd like him to be better. He was horrible that day. I think people have said worse things in public and acted worse than him. He deserves to come out to the podium and say, you know, I was wrong, guys. I was totally – you're looking at it.
I would love for that. That's what we're criticizing.
That's what we want.
You know what? Elijah Moore can complain about not getting the ball. He's a wide receiver. So what? Be quiet. You're the quarterback of the team. You're the leader of the team. You're the face of this franchise.
Every NFL quarterback that ever made it, and even Mr. Salah, he was successful at everything he ever did, and people kissed him. And when Salah first started struggling, he had press conferences where he was brutal because he was learning on the fly because it's the first taste of failure they've ever had in their life at any level.
He also,
and the kid didn't handle well.
Well, listen, I'm not to compare.
That's all we're saying.
Not to compare Salah and Wilson because obviously he's twice the man's age, but. Tell me, guys, when Salah was struggling at times with his team, has he at any point done anything except tried to own everything himself? He takes everything off of the players.
He always wants it on himself. This has been said many times before. This is why the quarterback position is the most difficult position to play in sports. Because your play affects the wins and losses, which affects the coach's job, the general manager's job, the PR director's job, the ticket taker's job. Everybody that's invested in that team financially takes the hit when you play poorly because you're the quarterback. It's the most important position in sports, so you can't afford to make that mistake. I'm sorry. That comes with the position, and that's why you draft him, and that's why you market him, because you believe in him. And when he drops the ball, I'm sorry, it's different than anybody else in sports, period.
Now, do you guys remember when Dwayne Haskins, God rest his soul, was playing in Washington, and he was getting eviscerated? Wouldn't you say it was more about what they said his attitude was behind the scenes and how he led than even his play?
Absolutely. And really, there's two things that Danny said that aren't true. He doesn't have weapons. Daniel Jones dreams about weapons.
Oh, my. Every night he dreams about those weapons.
The weapons that Zach Wilson has. Number two, you get held closer to the griddle in direct relation to how high you get picked in the draft.
Correct.
If he got picked in the middle of the second round, he would not be going through this. Even if he was struggling the same way, he's the second pick in the draft. That's what you sign up for. Sorry. And Danny said, well, he didn't ask to be the second pick in the draft. You don't think he wanted to be?
Yeah, he wanted to be.
He's accepting the checks, right?
Yes.
He's not giving the money back.
And again, listen, if he's getting a lot of heat, hey, that's just life. I don't think anybody is doing anything out of the ordinary. It's just that comes with the territory. And it's also not just about his play. It's how he handled himself in that locker room. Yeah, it's a kid mistake. But unfortunately, when you've invested so much in this player, this is how you get evaluated.
Listen, I wish nothing but well for Zach Wilson. I'm sincerely rooting for it to work out. Remember when I came in here, Don, all excited 1 week because Q-Tip called me, and as he's the biggest Jets fan, he's like, dude, the kid's got it. The kid's got it. He believed it 1 week, right? He had a moment. I'm truly rooting for him. But if you add everything up on paper that we've seen, performance on the field, stories about him outside of football and what they say character-wise, how he handles himself in pressers, the level of personality he gives when you communicate with him, it's not been that impressive a picture so far, guys. I'm sorry. Think about it all. It just has not been great. And yes, if he was winning, it would justify every one of those shortcomings, and you live with it. But he's not.
But to not take responsibility, guys, that's the thing. You know how many guys in that locker room got sick to their stomach hearing that their leader wouldn't take responsibility for the loss? When they're breaking their skulls out there to try to win a game? And they're held accountable.
It's supposed to be that you take too much blame and they go up to you and say it's not you.
Right.
That's how it's supposed to work. He had the opportunity. When you play a game that bad, the only opportunity you have for a win is in the press conference. That's where you get a chance to clean up what just happened.
But if you were a player, wouldn't you want to play for Fields after what he said? Wouldn't you want to play for Josh Allen after what he said?
Let's go to John in Utica. John.
Hi, Mike. It's a long-time watcher, first-time caller.
Thanks.
I'd just like to address two things, because I'm a diehard New York Giants fan, but I root for Buffalo and the Jets when they're not playing. Can I talk quickly about Daniel Jones? Because I know you guys yesterday kind of raked them over the coals. Listen, put Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, put Tom Brady, put Josh Allen in the Giant team for the last 4 years. You know what you guys would be talking about? These guys are terrible. They can't do anything. It's not Daniel Jones. He had nobody around him for the last 4 years.
Are you convinced that Daniel Jones is a top 10 quarterback in the league?
I don't think you have to be a top 10 to win a Super Bowl. I think he's competent. I think he'll get better, and I think if you surround him with other players, that he's going to perform. Hey,
but John, if you think he's competent, you think he's a quarterback moving forward, John, you know what happens? You got to pay him a truckload of money at the end of the year.
I'll tell you, but what other quarterback would you want right now besides Daniel Jones that you would gamble on?
I think that Shane's going to go out and get a quarterback if he doesn't like Daniel Jones. It doesn't mean it has to be somebody playing now. He'll draft him.
Well, John, I want to bring him back. I just want to bring him back for a small enough amount of money that they can go out and get the weapons necessary. Because I'm with you. I like him. I don't think he's going to lead them to a Super Bowl. But I think he's good enough to get them into the playoffs. What have you seen to think you think they're going to win a Super Bowl with the guy?
You know what? He's smart. He runs the ball well. He makes good decisions. Yeah. And I'll tell you right now, with the receivers he has, I think he's doing a great job. Now, we just lost another receiver this week.
Right.
They're in trouble. You know, I want to get to Zach Wilson, too, because I know that's what you guys are talking about now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm old. And, you know, Mike, and I know you guys are both, all you guys are old enough, except for maybe Peter. When Phil Simms came to the Giants, they blasted him.
Yep.
They said he wasn't a quarterback. He'll never take you to a Super Bowl. What are you looking in this guy? They were wrong. I remember when Terry Bradshaw for the Pirates, they wanted to run him out of town. They said, this guy is too dumb. Oh. He can't even read defenses. But you know what? I'm just saying. Give Zach Wilson a chance. Yeah, he had a bad interview after the game. But you know what? He's what, a 23-year-old kid? He's defensive. You know, look at Michael. I know because I'm like you, too. I'm a Yankee fan. You get defensive sometimes when they question you. We all do. And I think that's what happened. He's a young kid. He got defensive, and he spoke out of turn. I think we should give him another chance.
Well, you know what? Sure. Really, John, here's what would bother me, and I brought this up to Peter earlier. If they're making this decision because of a bad post-game interview, shame on them. They have to make this decision on what they're seeing out on the field and on the All-22 tape. That's the decision. Not because he said no if he let the defense down.
I don't know. I fully agree with that.
You got to take responsibility.
Is that benchable?
Yes. Absolutely.
It's absolutely benchable.
Absolutely benchable.
Well, maybe
it doesn't matter, though, because it's both.
But maybe. Yeah.
Like, it doesn't even matter.
Maybe all of a sudden this is crystallizing the fact that he was not a captain at BYU, which everybody said not a big deal.
I forgot about that.
A big reason. Maybe he's just not good like that.
I really did.
We had the BYU coach on.
Why wasn't he?
Poo-pooed it. Yep. Douglas poo-pooed it. Listen, if you're a big-time quarterback and you're not the captain of the team, to me that screams something.
But people have to realize, I love when you want to kick it old school. I love it. Yeah, Phil Simms was destroyed. Phil Simms was destroyed because people didn't want him to be picked to begin with. And number two, he was always hurt. All right? And Phil Simms got a chance. But also, that was 40 years ago, guys. You have to have a top 10 quarterback to win a championship. That's what I believe. And I don't know if either of these two quarterbacks can get to that point.
There
has to be a level of accountability. And also, Peter, it's not like you could sit around for 10 years and wait. By the end of next year, they've got to decide whether they're giving them the fifth-year option.
Right.
So you have to make decisions quickly in this league.
Now, here's my question for you. Would Daniel Jones, at quarterback, have won on Sunday?
Yes.
Yes.
I think
any quarterback in the NFL would have won on Sunday.
Well, I don't know about that.
But most.
I mean, there are some bad quarterbacks, but the bottom line is...
But you can't play worse than Zach did.
True.
In both those Patriots games.
Did anybody play as poorly as he did to say that if they replaced him, they wouldn't have won the game?
I agree with the caller's point that Daniel Jones could be a pretty good player. I also agree with Don's point about the money and what he's worth. But it's tough.
But listen, there are people that get paid a lot of money to make that decision. the Giants didn't give him the fifth-year option. So they wanted to see what this kid can do. They weren't sure.
And also, Phil Sims, everybody jumped him. Bill Parcells didn't start him.
Scott Bruner.
That's the coach. Anyway, everybody's getting on Wilson, what he said at the podium. But he was a lot more circumspect when he was interviewed by Bob Wischusen after the game. Wischusen was in the club, in the locker room. Here is that interview.
Zach, why the problems moving the football today, as best you can tell?
Yeah, a lot of issues. Just, you know, we couldn't get things going. Didn't run the ball great. Couldn't pass the ball great. You know, I got to find a way in those conditions to be able to make those throws. You know, we got to find a way as an offense. We'll go watch the film and see what we can do better.
He said, "I got to find a way."
That's better.
There was an I.
I mean, he started with the run game,
right?
But that's not the end of the world.
That's better than no.
Better than no.
1-800-919-3776. We'll come back. More phone calls. We'll talk about Judge being in San Francisco. Knicks having a good road trip. Nets in Philadelphia tonight. Ben Simmons' first time playing against the Sixers in Philly. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Right outside where we do our show, there's a bathroom. I don't know what they did. I don't know if they replaced the urinal cakes. It is the most beautiful smelling bathroom I have ever seen. Or ever smelt.
Really?
It's unbelievable. It's glorious. I just walked in there. I didn't want to leave.
How does it compare to when we're trying to leave at night and the only elevator that comes to the floor is filled with garbage?
I think it compares favorably.
Favorably. Yeah. Yes. To the garbage elevator.
Right,
okay,
to the garbage elevator. Yeah. It's just, I mean, you guys have to go in there.
I can't wait.
It's amazing. You know, wow. Well, very quick urinal story. When you put the urinal cakes in and there's like a plastic thing that goes over it, it's made by a company named Don.
Yes.
Is that true?
Right. So one day I was in a bathroom and I took out my phone and I took a picture and there were other people in the bathroom. They got really upset because I wanted to send the Don thing to Don.
And they thought you were taking an inappropriate picture.
Yeah, they thought I was, you know, doing things I shouldn't be doing.
I mean, that's okay.
Taking pictures of urinals?
Just the bottom.
Yeah, but why would people get upset? Just mind your own business.
Somebody whipped out a phone while I was going to the bathroom.
Lift it up and show it to
somebody
me.
Somebody urinating next to you?
One stall over.
Oh.
One,
that's on you.
I know it's on me.
Listen, I know you wanted to send it to me, Michael, but you know what? Not at the expense of you getting charged with a misdemeanor.
Listen, I do a lot of dumb things. I do want to send out best wishes to our buddy Jarv from Oz.
What's up?
He underwent a very serious surgery yesterday. Had a hip replacement.
Oh, wow.
I know he was nervous about it.
How old is he? I pictured him being like 26 years old.
Well, he's not 70. I don't know. I don't know the exact age. So, Jarv, tell us how old you are. But I hope that you're feeling better and recuperate quickly.
I didn't know about that. How did you find out about this?
He DM'd me.
He posted a thing too, saying watching from the hospital or whatever.
Yeah, he said that he got out of surgery okay. He was still alive, so that was, you know, he was nervous about it. And he is a friend.
Really,
he's a friend. Although I will tell him this. I'll tell him on the air. I didn't tell him on a DM. David Cohn had hip replacement surgery. Said, this is one that science has, they've got this down. It's the most easy surgery. He said he was walking within like hours.
Really? That's good news.
Yeah. Al Leiter said he never felt pain after he did it. Pitchers, with all the landing and stuff like that, it really destroys the hip. But David couldn't walk. That's why I had the surgery in the middle of the season. And he only missed like a week. Just, you know, just to get the stamina back. So, good luck, Jarv.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Feel better.
Let's go to Vinny in Oakland, New Jersey. Vinny.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Vin.
Well, you have a little more experience than me. You've probably seen more practices. I've been to Jets practice a few times, summer practices. But you ever notice when they do drills, five-on-fives, they're seven-and-sevens? I'm 70. I could probably complete those passes. I mean, I know they can't do full scrimmages, but I think Wilson's greatest drawback is he's really short. I know you're going to say, well, what about Drew Brees? What about Joe Montana? They weren't big. Understood. A little different game, bigger guys. What do you guys think about that?
You know, he's not. I think, Vin. I mean, I'm not going to dismiss what you said. I think he's 6 foot. He might even be 6'1".
Well, they list him at 6'2". But so, many people believe that that's an exaggeration.
He looks like a child. That's the issue. I mean, Doug Flutie, you can't say he was the greatest player in the world, but he was really short, and he got it done.
5'10", I think?
If that.
Yeah,
if
but
that.
You don't draft Doug Flutie second overall.
Right.
I mean, Doug Flutie can make things happen, but that's not what they drafted Zach Wilson to do, to be the little engine that could.
I mean, they kind of stood next to him. They met with him in person. I think they knew how tall he was.
But in a sport where they analyze, you know, hand size and everything, I'm sure they looked at his size and figured that he would be able to play big. But, again, we're putting a lot on what Dan Orlovsky says, but we respect him. He played the position that it looked like he didn't know the plays. The alternative to that would be not seeing it. So I think it's on the table. When you see somebody play as poorly as he did in a big game like that, you wonder, is it something that he can't see, whether it's visually or is his vision being blocked by the offensive line? What's going on?
Let's go to Jim in Point Lookout. Speaking of vision, what's up, Jim?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
All good.
Good, man. Yeah, Michael, love you. Big Yankee fan. You're part of the fabric of the Yankees. And Don, you know, Rangers, you do such a great job with the Rangers. And I'm a big fan of the Rangers, but I bleed green.
So what do you think?
I think Don hit it on the head. You talk about a fan base. I mean, we have had four place finishes in 62 years, 15 winning seasons in that time. This is a team that's never had a stadium, their own stadium, except now that we share MetLife, had to deal with the Mets and all the things that we had to deal with coming up. We also have a fan base that, like all New York teams. These are fans that know the game. So when you get, you know, and I understand this kid, and I feel for him, but when you get defensive that the only people that matter are in this building, you end up lighting a fire under Jet fans as far as our contribution all these years of being with this team. And listen, the fact of the matter is, I hope this kid, second round pick, he slings the ball. I mean, this kid has juice in his arm. There's no doubt about it. But the fact of the matter is, right now, this kid isn't playing well. And what happened on that podium, I think a little bit of it, as far as dealing with the media, is he's a little thin-skinned. You have to appreciate in New York, it's kind of about the Bronx cheer, right? It's about the fact, what have you done for us lately? They booed Judge. They've had comments about Derek Jeter, for heaven's sakes. That goes across the board. And the Jet fan for years, I mean, again, four first-place finishes in 62 years.
Well, Jim, I appreciate everything that you're saying. And please don't take this the wrong way, because it's not meant in a nasty way. You can't make decisions on fans, you know, liking or not liking him. You got to make decisions on what exactly is happening out on the field. Just because the fans don't like him, well, that's just too bad. Fans aren't fans. They are not experts at this.
I know.
They're just not. I mean, you want to take it into consideration, but you don't change a quarterback because the fans are done with him.
No, I don't think Sala would do that. I don't think Douglas would do that, but would Woody do it?
Well, if he did it, then he's got issues. The team's going to be bad for a long time. Jar 48.
Okay.
Yeah. And he said he's 48, same as Coney. Let me tell you something, Jarvie, baby. Coney's not 48. Coney's almost my age. I think he might be 60.
Yeah, but he's...
But, yeah.
He looks terrific.
Yeah, he looks great.
Right.
And his mind is where every other 12-year-old is in the gutter, which I love about David.
How about this? On top of all this, Panthers will start Sam Darnold this week.
Hey, look at the numbers.
Wow!
Man,
Sam actually played better. And Sam wasn't the answer, right? And
He did play better over his first couple of years, and he didn't play well enough. Anyway, when we come back, talk about Judge being in San Francisco, continue to hit on the Jet stuff as well, 1-800-919-3776. And also, something I read in the Times on Sunday really disturbed me, and I'll tell you what that was when we get back right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN. Hey, everybody, it's Michael Kay. I want to tell you about the Jackpocket app, where you can play official state lottery games like Powerball and Mega Millions on your phone. Lottery players on Jackpocket have now won over $150 million, and Jackpocket is the top-ranked lottery app in the U.S. No more waiting on lines. Play anytime, anywhere. Download the app for free or visit jackpocket.com and get your first Mega Million or Powerball ticket free using code ESPN. That's code ESPN for your first ticket free. You must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, wants help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. Visit jackpocket.com/TOS for full terms of service.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.